O heavenly righteous Father, King eternal, immortal, invisible, who dwells in the light that's unapproachable to men, who has never been seen nor can be seen by man. I thank you for your might. I thank you for your power. I thank you for all of the things that you have done to cause us to be able to live for you. I ask you to look upon the wicked, those that will not repent, those that are stealing children, those that are destroying lives, and kill them. I ask you to kill them. I ask you to make them dead, break their teeth, cut off their descendants, cut off any power that they have. Fight for your people. Fight for the innocent. Fight for the unborn. Fight for those that are being slaughtered like dogs under the auspices of some kind of righteous standard that's antithetical to yours. And everyone that would change and repent, whatever fire it takes, whatever chastising it takes, whatever kind of malady it takes, turn them to you. Let the earth be filled with your knowledge of your glory, as the waters cover the sea, as the air covers the earth, so that your power and your glory and your government may rule. Amen, amen, and amen. As you can see, I'm not really here to try to make people like me today. Never have been. And if I have, may God chasten me when I want to do that. I'm here today to give the butt-naked word of God, which should be offensive to some people. I'm not trying to make it where I just want to be offensive for the sake of being offensive, but I know that the word of God should be an offense to those that want to rail against the word of the living God and his righteous government. I want to emphasize his righteous government. The government of God is always based in righteousness and justice. And he gets to define what righteousness is because it's based upon his immutable character. For those that don't know what the immutable character means, or that word immutable, it means unchanging character. His character that has no shadow of turning, no variablesness in it. It's just set there. Justice, his character, his immutable, unchanging character. That's his government. His government is the essence of who he is, and that's which proceeds out from him. And if we call ourselves the sons of God, that's a term that means mankind. We don't need to have an egalitarian, but I'm going to say it because some people are ignorant. And when I say ignorant, I mean they don't know. Sons and daughters of God, mankind. Often have competing governments. But we were going through the book of Numbers. And as we were going through the book of Numbers, this thing they call a pan-all-demic, a pandemic, a all-encompassing plague came. And I wanted to show how these things work and how the scriptures talk about it. So we went through and we looked at the book of Amos, verse by verse. Then we went through the book of Malachi. Actually, Malachi was last. Then we went Jonah, and we did Malachi. Got to come back home. Got to come back home. Yes, I love teaching the Bible book by book, because as a child growing up, I realized I wasn't learning the Bible in church. I realized I wasn't learning one book of the Bible because of the fact, number one, I had been reading the Bible and stuff I wasn't getting taught and things I didn't have explained. Then I would listen to radio preachers and I would hear them go through and they would teach different books, or they would at least skim over the book. And it's like, why am I hearing more on the radio and I'm not paying for this than I'm getting whenever I'm in my church? So one day I was listening to Calvary Chapel. I was doing some work at my mom's home, and I heard that they were doing, they do the Bible book by book under Chuck Smith. And so I started listening to them. And I would hear things discussed that I hadn't heard discussed because they're going through passages. J. Vernon McGee, He had it through the Bible in 5 years. And so I determined that when the time come, because I read a book from Calvary Chapel, it's called Harvest. And I saw that they taught the Bible book by book. I said, if I ever get to teach, if I ever get to be a place where I would get to be over an assembly as a servant. And I didn't say as a dictator. Folk don't need a dictator. What they need is somebody that if you know something, then you teach your brother. Isn't that what he told Peter? When you are converted, strengthen your brother. They didn't say Lord over him. The same Peter said, we're not lords over God's heritage. 1 Peter chapter 5. We are helpers with them. That's when I made up my mind. That's what I'm going to do. So I've seen people go through and they skim over and they get a little bit. We're not in the time for skimming right now. No, I cannot exhaustively go over everything in the Bible, but I can meaningfully deal with the text. And as we go through again, certain books we've covered more than once. And there are some that we haven't covered yet, which is to my chagrin. But this book of Numbers, we're going to have to re-go over what we've covered. And I'm going to show you it fits today so well. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to also let you know that you can go and do some of the things that I did, but a lot of times you're not going to get a lot of coverage. You may get a quick flyover. I don't want to fly over the scriptures. Do you want a doctor that flew over medical classes to perform your surgery? Do you want a person that flew over plumbing to come and fix and do your plumbing, or somebody that flew over electrical class to come in and wire your house? Do you want somebody that flew over a computer class to come in and set up the security of your computer? But yet when it comes to the Word of God, we don't even want to fly over. We want somebody that maybe just, I saw somebody do something one time when my daddy was little and I can do that. Or somebody like me, and I did a trial thing, and I put two wires together and take them, and it worked. And now I'm going to come, and I'm going to be your electrician. Sometimes that's how we get preachers. Sometimes somebody likes somebody, and they put their hand on them, and they do a prayer, and this person that studied the Word of God, don't know the Word of God, don't live the Word of God, but you're a relative of somebody, and because of that, now you're in charge. That's a damnable, poor excuse for setting up the kingdom of God. Now that I've made my pregnant pause, I want us to think about this. Last week, we talked about the government of God and the wickedness of man. Do we realize that God has a government, saints? Do we realize that God has a government, or do we just think that when we get to heaven, that's when he's going to get to judge? Do we think we got to wait till the sky cracks open and the trumpet blows and he comes down, and as some people think, we sucked up in the air in the rapture, or as others think, he comes back whenever everything is set in order like he wants it to be, then he comes back and judge. You see, you have different views. You have a pre-trib, post-trib, a-mill, pre-mill, no-mill, which is a-mill, and post-mill. And I'm not going through all of those different eschatological or end-days views. I'm going to tell you that right now, since he sits at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in high, and since he gave his apostles the ability to go into all the world and teach and command those people to observe all of the things that he commanded them, and since he says, oh, I am with you even to the end of the age, and he's repeating what he says in Matthew 18, that when you bring your problems, your court cases before the assembly, I know it says church, but church is an English word. And I don't know what people mean when they say church. The word ecclesia, it was a word that came from the Hebrew, which is called the kahal, and the kahal was the assembly of God, or the edu. Somebody said, Ken, why are you saying that? Because I want you to understand, when you see me avoid saying church so many times, it's not that I'll never say it. But church means something to people nowadays. Church means, you know, clapping your hands, and they do the same thing when they sell cars. They do the same thing on a church's fried chicken commercial. They do it in Tyler Perry movies, and the people get to singing, and that's church. That is not church. The book of Amos said, don't bring your song before me like that. And you're not doing righteous and judgment. He said, let judgment flow. So Tim, what are we talking about today? Glad that you asked. It's such a beautiful people. You see, Ahmaud Arbery was killed. We talked about that. And I'm not here to preach the Ahmaud Arbery sermon. George Floyd was killed this week. And I'm not here to preach the, I believe it's George Floyd. Am I got it right? George Floyd. And many others have been killed. I'm not here to preach that sermon. But what I am here to talk about is in God's kingdom, there is a standard of justice and righteousness that must be done. And can you make that go down? Righteousness and judgment that must be done. And when righteousness and justice must be done, you can look at videos and see a man in Philando Castile get shot down like a dog in his car when he's doing nothing wrong, and the person gets to get away with it. And you have churches. And when I say churches, I mean churches. Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholic. You have all non-denomination, which because it's non-denomination and there's so many, that's a denomination. Five baptized, word churches. And all of these people that come together, or used to come together and say that they love God. Why is it that we can't have God's judgment in the land? Why is it that we can't have justice for black people? Why you say black people and nobody else? Because right now there is a war on the black man, and you don't want to talk about it. You don't want me to say it. And if it's offensive to you, let it be offensive, but prove me wrong. How about that one? Prove me wrong. Because that's what I'll do if you tell me something. The first thing I start doing is trying to find a hole in your statement, and then I start doing my research. It starts before we are born. Margaret Sanger decided that what she wanted to do is kill the black people. And we'll get these preachers that can speak well, and we'll do it, and we'll call it something, and they gave it a name called Planned Parenthood. In this whole pandemic, it was able to stay open. It was still able. We need to kill some more black people. You got a man named Bill Gates that want to go around the world and do vaccines and go look out on the front of his building, and it talks about population control. Which population is it, do you think? It's the elite. Do you think they want to control their population? Do you think they want to control the population in Europe? Do you think they want to go to Germany and control that population of the people that are indigenous to that area, or anyone else that don't share our skin color? Why did the president of France say, let's go to Africa and let's try the vaccines out? Why has Bill Gates got so much to say in this world about what's being done? Somebody is getting money. Somebody has an agenda that's not the agenda of God. When we get to Numbers chapter 35, you're going to see how important life is. We're at Numbers 31. We're going to pick up from Numbers 31, if the Lord will, after about three messages. Because today we're going to pick back up from Numbers chapter 1, if the Lord will, and bring us to chapter 15. But Numbers give you the pattern of the government of God. Deuteronomy, Exodus, and Leviticus give you what is called case law and statutory law. Case law is what is. Let me give you an example of case law. Thou shalt not murder. Oh, you thought I was going to say kill, didn't you? God has never been against killing. What? God has never been against justifiable, righteous killing of putting a man to death when he blasphemes him. He wants a man to put him to death. If he kills your brother, he wants a man to put him to death. Why? Because he's in the image of God. Rape put the man to death. When David had to go against Goliath, do you think David just said, you know that big old giant out there, I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kill him, and everyone going to like me, and the women going to sashay their dresses, and they're going to just say, Saul is 8,000, and David has 10,000. They're going to hunch their shoulders like that, and then someone's going to get, and you know how women shimmy, and someone's going to do like that? They're going to be so happy. No. David said, you come with me with sword and spear. But I came to you, I come to you in the name or the authority of the living God whom you defiled. Thou shalt not kill. Look behind the English, the word is murder. God has always been one that would give you case law. He would give you statutory law first and then case. So what is a case law? Case law is if you got a house, they had flat houses, they would be on the top of the houses. And that's where they would eat. That's why they would relax. So the Most High God, who is king of all the earth, said, when you have a house, you better build a fence around the edge of it. Because if somebody falls off your house and dies, you're going to be charged for murder because you didn't make it safe. The Most High God, 21st chapter of the book of Exodus. You got an ox. You got a, and they've been known to try to hit and push people. You better put him up. Because if he kills somebody, you've been told the ox will die and you will die. Okay? Because you didn't put him up. The only time that something like that would happen and you wouldn't get put to death, you go before the court of the people that we see in Numbers. And they would set a definite price for satisfaction to be paid. But there are many things, there are many sins that you couldn't pray for. There are many sins that you could not get forgiveness for. When I say forgiveness, in other words, you don't get to live. And I'm not going to go through and read it. I'm just going to tell you there's a man named Achan. If you go look at Joshua chapter 6, I would say start from 5 and go through 7. And you will see this man named Achan. He steals. He hides. And he causes a whole court case to come about. Ned the Trist, everybody in the camp, because this rascal, this fool, wouldn't say he's guilty. So the, before the people go up to war, and 31 men that died in Ai, you all can read it. It's there. And so this man, he gets the death penalty as if he killed those people. You get another death penalty because you defied God, because there are certain things that were off limits. But before he died, I understand this is case law. Joshua said, give glory to God. I ain't forgiving it. I am not forgiving it. Give glory to God. Don't go to hell with this on you that you got people thinking God did wrong. When I say hell, I mean Sheol. That's the world of the underworld. You don't go there and you sleep. Your corpse may look asleep, but you are separated from your body. What does that have to do with our lesson today? What would you say? Statutory law is when it says thou shalt not kill. That's the statute. The case law is in the case when somebody's animal kills somebody and you know it. You can be put to death for that. If you accidentally kill somebody to death, that's case law. If you just kill the man because you want to, that's case law. If two men are fighting and a woman's pregnant and one of them hit the woman in the belly and killed the baby, you get put to death for that. That's case law. Case law is when he goes through and explains what he means by murder. Case law is what he means when he shows you what he means by adultery. With case law is what he shows you what he means by fornication. And he does that. That's why I always tell people read Exodus chapter 21 through 23. Most people, they want to stop at what you call the first 10. Those are words. They add the thou shalt not to it. But he gives case law. So when you go and look at the case law, you go back and say, how did that work? Okay, Paul uses case law, then I'll go to our message. Paul said when he says in the statutory law, now you're not going to find the statutory law written like that, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that tread out the corn. So you think he said that just for oxes only? Like really? Okay, let's go from the small to the large so that your eyes can be open. If the ox is out there working, plowing your field, you better let him eat what he eats. Don't steal from the ox. Hey, that's an animal. He's the servant of man. How much more then when the servant of the Most High God plows and preaches the word of God, plowing up, trying to break up your fallow ground, trying to dig and get it where your soil is ready to hear the word of God, come through and plant the word of God. Somebody else comes and water the word of God so that it can grow. How much more if you cannot do that to an ox? Can you do that to God's servant? Well, Paul explains, he gave you case law so you can make application. How does that fit in the climate of what's going on today? Well, I mentioned three people that got killed. I mentioned Philando Castile. I mentioned Ahmaud Arbery. And I also mentioned the man that was killed the other day, George Floyd. What would you look at if you're looking at statutory law? You're looking at thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. So what do you want to look at case law? Okay, case law in Exodus chapter 20, I believe it's chapter 22. Andrina, make sure it's chapter 22. That's where they start talking. I got a Bible in front of me. What's wrong with me? In Exodus chapter 22, I believe that's the one when somebody breaks in the house. You do not get to kill them if it's in the daytime and you can see what's going on. So what happens is a lot of time people, they think that you can just, because a person is stolen something, you can just kill them. No, because of the fact that's a different scenario. And so the case law is already set in the Bible. So when I say that person should be put to death, and some, it's in there. It's in there, 22. I'm not sure what verse. Give me the verse, the address of the verse, Precious Love. Let me just read it, since I've taken this much time. If a thief be found breaking up or breaking into somebody's house, and he be smitten that he died, there should be no blood shed for him. So the case law, somebody say that's the statute, but this is telling you the scenario of what happens. This is already, if somebody break in your house in the nighttime, Gary, and you throw a baseball, hit him in the head and he die, or if Dre hit him in the head with a skillet, or if he's in somebody's house and they put a bullet through him, whatever it is, there'll be no blood shed for him. You've actually declared war on a family. You've broken in the house in the night, and you're not there to sing Kumbaya. But it says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be no blood shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. Thank you. He should make restitution. I don't know why I read that incorrectly. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If an individual is coming into an individual's house and he steals something and you catch him doing that and he's not in the nighttime, and that individual is running away like that dude, that Avery dude, when he didn't even steal anything, that Aubrey dude, you don't kill him. They've shown videos that we know who he is. Haven't they done it? We know who he was. We know where he lived. We even knew what kind of car he has. And to just shoot him down like a dog, you don't have it. Mm-mm. And so what ends up happening is, if you look at this third verse where I read it incorrectly, I want you to understand what's taking place. This individual, look at it, I'm going to have to change your version so that it makes sense. Let's see, click here. I want to change it to NASB because you can't make restitution if you've been put to death. That's an impossibility. In other words, let somebody go and take what comes from your house. And you notice there are a lot of italics there. And when you have the italics, we don't want to deal with the italics. It says, if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. Blood guiltiness means you'll be put to death if you kill him. Follow me? That don't mean you get to kill him and that there'll be blood shed for him. That blood being shed for him is not that blood is his blood. It's the blood, like if I see somebody running from my house, stolen something, I kill him. Blood should be shed for him by me. That man should make full restitution. Point being made with Ahmaud Arbery, according to God's governmental control in his laws, if he had stolen something, let him make full restitution. Don't kill him. Number two, that Philando Castile, you just shot and killed him. You make people buy a license. You make them have a permit. And you got somebody standing here. And you got somebody standing here. And the man say, I have this. I'm going to get you my wallet. And you just keep shooting. You keep shooting. You keep shooting. Then in the case with this other guy, it's supposed to be, was he supposed to be forging some $20 or something like whatever, 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 whatever. I don't care. You put your knee on his neck. From what I understand, first I thought it was 4 minutes, then I heard it was 8 minutes, and I'm hearing two or three of them did it, and you caused them to die. Blood should be shed. This is the government of God. But the point of my message is that if you don't understand God has a government, we end up with what we have now. Naomi, what we have going on right now, we have what are called riots in different cities. Atlanta, we had riots. They have riots in Minneapolis. I think they had some in New York. I don't even want to try to name all of the cities, but here's the point. The point that's being made is this of God? Is this God's governmental way of getting justice in the land? Do we follow a multitude to do evil? Because somebody, and I heard them say in the Atlanta thing with Keisha Lance Bottom, that Atlanta, we're better than this. Atlanta, we're better than this. We don't do this in Atlanta. That's a goddamnable lie. I said a goddamnable lie. Atlanta is not better than that. Atlanta traffics children. If you want to talk about Atlanta as being the people that they traffic children, they prostitute. They practice homosexuality. They practice theft. They use what they call it, gentrification. They raise the prices up of taxes when they build something big where somebody old lives and jack their taxes up where they can't live. Don't tell me Atlanta is better than that. That's a farce. Atlanta has a face that make people think that it's better than that. This is the place for you to come and live. But is Atlanta better than that because it want to uphold the word of God? No. Is it true that Atlanta allowed all kind of prostitution to go up and down the street when I first moved there, Stewart Avenue? Yes. Did I see young girls and didn't know they were trafficking girls? Yes. Do they have an educational system there that has been perverted and people had to go to jail? Yes. Don't tell me Atlanta is better than something. Based on what are you calling better? Because better is a comparative term. Better than what? And if I'm better, let's say I'm a dead dog and I stink and I've been dead 2 days and I smell better than a dead dog that's been dead 5 days. Am I still the same dead dog? I mean, a dead dog? Government of man. So I hear yesterday, we're better than that. Go vote. How is voting going to change the heart of ungodly men? As long as your de facto law allows black men to be shot down and killed and nothing happens. When I say de facto, that means in fact. It doesn't matter, obviously, what's written sometimes. It depends on who you are. You get to get away with it and people see that. Is that the government of God? No. You want to tell me that voting is going to change things when you get the people in office and those people in office don't change the laws that are unjustly applied, that unjustly written against his black children. The black children of America were made to be locked up under convict leasing, under black codes, under the Emancipation Proclamation. After that, you got the 13th Amendment. And then when there's a benefit that's written that's supposed to be for black people, you take it and you give it to everybody else. The 14th Amendment was written for us because of the Dred Scott decision, and you said that there was nothing about us that you had to respect, any rights that you had to respect of a black man. But then you give it to the Mexicans, you give it to the Chinese, you give it to everybody else, and yet when black people still want to come here, the rest of your family, whether they're from Haiti or they're from Africa, often they can't get in. The government of God does not operate in partiality that way. So we have Atlanta right now with all the riots, and people say we get tired. You expect things to get tired. Do you think the righteous government of God would have you to get tired and you go out and you destroy property of people that share your own ethnicity? That you go and tear up stuff you got to pay for and your taxes being jacked up, the elderly, the people that live in the neighborhood where the taxes are. Or you get it, your buildings and your things torn down so much that somebody with money come and buy it up and then you have to move further away from what was yours. You get tired and you go to what standard now? You're trying to make a right without doing it under the government of God. So you're going to do it under the government of man. The government of God versus the government of man will be our downfall if we choose incorrectly. You want to go and you just shoot randomly. You get a crowd together to do a peaceful protest. And then Antifa comes in. And you don't recognize, because you're not like God. In Numbers chapter 1, God knew everybody that was in his camp. He actually numbered them. He had them set aside. He had them separated. And they had a certain way that they were going to operate to spread his kingdom. He didn't just let everybody come in and have a say-so. So you come together and you want righteous judgment. First of all, have you determined what is righteous? Secondly, have you determined about how to go and get it, to get it? Thirdly, do you practice it? Are you going to inflict or enforce someone else to do something that you know nothing about except for, in a hypocritical way, I demand it from you, but I don't demand it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I demand it from you, but I don't demand it. Let me say, I'm lying to everybody. Did you say I'm lying to everybody? But I demand you tell the truth. Do I really demand it? No. I'm partial in my judgment. I'm over. I'm above. That's what they do in Congress. That's what they do in what we call government. You have people that do these things. If you will, Gary, come take this from me and see what he wants, because he may be trying to call in. Maybe the conference line shut off. But here is the point. Righteous government. When you talk about righteous government, we don't look for it. We let other people do it for us. I'm going to submit to you that these riots, they're not based in righteousness. They're not based in righteousness. It doesn't matter about your frustration. If the kingdom of God is ruling, the kingdom of God is ruling. So I want you to go and bear with me and let's go and see what the standard of God is, how the standard of God operates. The Bible told us when we were in Numbers chapter 1, it showed that God got all of the people together. And when the people of God got together, he set up government. Before we do Numbers 1, I'd like to move to some salient points so that way I can just flow through Numbers without going back and forth. If you want to know where I am, I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. This is under God's government, because he knew there would always be a government of self-willed man that he would be competing against. So in Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, this is where we have the case law. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. This is under the government of God. Under the government of God, it doesn't matter what your cause is. He says, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil. He didn't say multitudes are bad. He said, but don't follow a multitude to do evil. If Antifa is giving out guns, if Antifa is giving out knives, if they're giving pre-made placards out, if they're giving you stuff to use pepper gas or whatever it is, or if it's somebody else that wants to do chaos so that they can have an election overturned, or there's someone that wants to do chaos so they can be big in the community, and they got people following them, he says, thou shall not follow a multitude to do evil. This is his kingdom rule. No exception. But neither shall you speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. I will not speak in a cause to have the murderer of Philando Castile to be exonerated. I will not speak in a cause to have the murderers of Ahmaud Arbery exonerated. I actually want them put to death, like God said. I will not speak in a cause to have the man or the men responsible for killing Gerald Floyd, George Floyd, thank you. You're a beautiful wife. I will not speak in a cause to rest judgment, whether it's with your children in your home, your husband in your home, your wife in your home, or me and my wife. You can, as hard as it is when I think I'm right, when I realize I'm wrong, am I going to rest judgment because I'm the man and she's the woman? He didn't say where it was. He says, neither shall you speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. It can be many people. It can be many thoughts. Listen to what the Bible wants us to learn. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13, when we learn to do God's righteous judgment, Josiah, when we learn to be who God wants us to be, he's going to give us an added layer of protection. Listen what the Bible says. Sanctify Yahweh of armies, Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for thee a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, and a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You say, Tim, how does that fit with us today? I want you to hear. When you set apart the Lord God in your heart, Peter says, and be ready to give all every man always an answer, a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. But here, you sanctify him. You set him apart in your heart and let him be your fear, not the continued injustice, not people not liking you because you don't go along with them, to bring about a false sense of peace coming together, but it's not under the auspices of God's kingdom. Let him be your fear. Let him be your holy place, your sanctuary, and he'll be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense for both houses of Israel and Jerusalem. What he will do is he'll be a rock of offense for the religious community that are not going to let God be his fear and dread. In the Old Testament, as we call it, the Hebrew Scriptures, Israel and Judah were supposed to be God's righteous kingdom on the earth. When they turned away from God, what happened is they would pervert judgment. Isaiah chapter 1 talks about it. Isaiah chapter 5 talks about it. But the real issue is when you as a people let God be your fear and you let him be your dread, he'll become a dread. He'll become your sanctuary. Even if all the other religious organizations, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Church of God, Holy Church of God in Christ, whatever, all of the names, move past the temple that was in Jerusalem, move past what they're doing in Israel, and you go back to letting the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts was never the temple. The Lord of hosts was never Jerusalem. It was where he was supposed to dwell. So he's moving past that. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. That'll keep you from following the multitude to do evil. Listen to what Yahweh said he'd do to those people that were like that. Before Moses died, Moses gave the people the key of how to have justice, how to implement justice in the world, how to implement God's righteous judgment. Because before we ever get to chapter 4 where he said the nation would come and learn from them about his judgment and his laws, listen to what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25, the Most High God. Deuteronomy 2 and 25, Moses is giving them or has written down what God Almighty has said. This day will I begin to put the dread and the fear of thee upon the nations. Notice, I will begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear and report of thee and tremble and be in anguish because of thee. When are we going to turn the world upside down? When are we going to turn our own hearts upside down and make it bow down to God? When are people going to realize that when we're in the house, that God's judgment is there? When? Is it ever going to happen in our lifetime? Will we have to be replaced to do so? Is that really what's going to have to take place? Because many of us don't seem to love God. We can sing, we can church, we can do all of that kind of mess. But when it comes down to it, do we have the light? I want you to see what God did during the time when a man had the fear of him in him. I want you to see how it works. You all want to learn it? It's a beautiful scripture. Listen to what the Bible said. This thing is so good. Well, Solomon had asked God to give him the wisdom to judge between good and bad, good and evil. In other words, maturity of judgment, which we're supposed to have. And the two whores came there. If you don't know about the two whores, one kidnapped the other one's child and stolen it and was going to keep it and want the child to be killed. Because if I can't have mine, I don't want you to have yours. And Solomon said, bring a sword, cut them in half and give one half to this one, one half to this one. And then one said, yeah, do that. So he knew that wasn't the mother. But listen to the end of the rest of the story. That is recorded. Verse 27, 1 Kings 3 and 27. I'm sorry I took so long to give you the scripture, precious love. I saw that in your actions. 1 Kings 3:27. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Listen to this 28th verse. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Say, we gonna let Solomon have that and we can't? We got a Bible, we have an Apocrypha, we have Pseudepigrapha, we have Nag Hammadi Library, we have Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, and commentaries. We got their lives to look at. When are we going to rise up and understand it's in the judgment? Why are we alone happy when people go and bomb and indiscriminately do things to people because they're upset or we're tired? There is no righteous way to get judgment. But if you never practiced it, when things go on a big scale, guess what happens? You go in with the multitude. All this time, churches have been closed. And look, all this pandemic, I'm a world off. I'm closed. I don't want to look. So you put on a mask. I tell you this, is 60, and you're out there in a riot, and you're not social distancing, no doggone more. And they've got you wearing a mask. And I'm not saying that you can't get a disease, but you got a mask on just like Antifa did. And now Antifa can put on their mask and pretend to be you. And if some people had taken pictures, everybody that was looting would have been considered to be black. Anarchy. What happened to the social distancing? What happened to the mask? Because at one time you had all these other issues, you would social distance, but you wouldn't social distance from wickedness. You would put the mask on to keep from being infected with somebody's disease, but you don't mind being infected with murder. You don't mind being infected with vandalism. I would submit to you that I'm going to show you in the book of Numbers when a multitude rose to do evil, God told him through Moses, separate yourself from them. I tell you now, I ain't got to wait. When Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and that 250 people, they decided to go against God, and that multitude rose up, going to overthrow the government of God, and God said through Moses, separate you from the tents of Korah. Let the wicked stand alone. Let the wicked stand alone. And he destroyed the wicked. We got to grow up and start doing righteous judgment. You cannot have different people with money. You can't have the progressive groups. You can't have groups where people have money that give to different black people and different ones to go out and do things in your name and get it videoed, and then the term get put down on you and your house and your property and your children. And then people around the world, when you go somewhere to visit, they think you're the one that's just like that because they made a caricature of you. You cannot follow a multitude to do evil. Be wise, do wise judgment, and let the people fear. Let them fear the words that come out of your mouth because it comes from God. That was a jest for Solomon. That's God's pattern. Listen to the Bible in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. The Bible says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Let me explain that in teenage. Get a whole lot of people together, and everybody going to determine how we're going to deal with the issue or an injustice. And you don't bring the Most High's statutory as well as his case laws into it to deal with wisdom. There's not going to be a lack of evil. There's not going to be a lack of that or a wanting or a missing of that which is going to be wrong. This is what the Bible teaches. There's a parallel passage like that in Ecclesiastes, same writer, chapter 5, verse 7. It says, in a multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanity. People have visions. They have dreams. They make up dreams, things that they long for. But when you have a whole lot of words coming across, you fear God. There could be something inside of you that, yeah, you might want to blow up the police station. Guess what? You black people may not have done that. It may have been done by their own police force. But guess what? If you get the credit for it, you'll also get the repercussions. Now, I don't know why you would be in Atlanta destroying your property and that happened there. I don't know why you'd be in other cities doing. And what did Atlanta do to you? What did these other places do to you? You want to say you're fed up? Then why don't you start standing for God's righteous judgment? Why don't you start doing right in your own home? Why don't you start saying what God say and not buckling? Why are you always afraid to say this is what God say in the public place and you want to just appeal to man and his own intellect? Why? Because some of them have degrees and you don't? If you have the Most High God, you have access to the wisdom of the ages. I want you to see a multitude that's set to do evil, okay? Can we walk with me? Matthew 26:47. There are sometimes multitudes that's going to do good. I'm not talking about them right now, okay? In Matthew 26:47, I'm going to give it to you. This is the trial of the Most High. This is his son's trial. And yet he spake, and lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Isn't that the equivalent of like having a riot? They're ready to riot. They came prepared to do battle. If you're going to do battle for the Lord and you got them, what they came when they came out of Egypt with a mixed multitude, they'll destroy your movement. They'll destroy God's righteous plan, because the moment you get in with them or you don't separate from them, they're going to blame all of that on you. They already hate God. Matthew 27:20. Listen to as it progressed. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. We have a great big multitude that's not set to do God's will. Somebody that's in control, somebody that's a leader, somebody that can speak well. Usually can move the multitude to do things that are against God. And that's why God warned them way back in Exodus. You don't even have to know who the person is. You don't even have to know what their agenda is. Follow not a multitude to do evil. As a matter of fact, you remember they got the people to say, his blood be on us and our children? Well, we feel it, don't we? 23:1, book of Luke. And the whole multitude arose and led him to Pilate. And then we see Pilate in the 27th chapter, 24th verse. I'm not going to read it. He washed his hand and gave him back to the multitude. In the book of Acts, we have a couple of places that I want to mention. In Acts 14:4, a multitude in the city was divided. Part held with the Jews, part held with the apostles. Now, the thing is, they want to kill Paul. They don't like Paul. We have a multitude to do wrong. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see some of the things they did to him. But I'm going to read the last one in Acts 25 and 23. And upon the morrow, Acts 25:23, when Agrippa, King Agrippa, was come, Bernice, with great pomp, and were entered into the palace, or the place of hearing, the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth, and Festus says, King Agrippa, and all the men which are present, you see this man about whom the whole multitude of the Jews have dealt with, me, both in Jerusalem, and also crying that he ought not live any longer? I'm just going to stop there. I'm not going to go through the whole process. Here's a multitude that's willing to put an innocent man to death. And these are the descendants of Abraham. These are the descendants that came from what God gave and told them during the time of Moses. What does that have to do with us now? Every multitude that I just showed you, the one that wanted to put the Messiah to death, the one that wanted to put Paul to death, those multitudes, they had a religious backing. They had the culture. They had Israel. They had Judah. And yet, the multitude was not spared from being evil. You're going to hear a lot of preachers. You're going to hear a lot of people that they got Reverend on their name. That makes them happy. What's your name? My name is Reverend this. My name is Apostle this. I walk in the anointing. I walk in the prophetic. My name is Dr. This. Listen, don't let that move you. Let God be your fear. Let him be your dread. and let him put the fear and the dread of you on you, so that when you go out, you have the power of God that's causing people to respect what you say. You don't have to start, I know one guy tried to impress me this week with something, and he starts saying, yeah, I'm serious, on the phone. And that made me not respect him. I was like, I think you're trying to manipulate me. I'm just telling you. You didn't have to do all of that. First, I didn't understand it. Number two, this just me. Well, in the book of Numbers, where we were, listen, in chapter 1, we're not going to read it. We might take an excerpt every now and then. In chapter 1, he did a census of the tribes. The tribes, Naomi, what he did was he brought them out of Egypt. He's brought them out of slavery. He's brought them away from the government of Egypt, and he's going to set up his own government. He's going to stop them from being slaves and under this person's judgment, Pharaoh and government, and now you're going to be under mine. You're going to be under my government, and I'm going to put you in the position on the earth to rule my government. And so they're called tribes, but tribes is the word mete, like a tree, the limb on a tree. That's what he calls them. Not only am I going to put you in charge, I'm going to call you my sons and daughters. That means you're going to be part of a royal family since he's king. And now you are above everybody else because you have me. All of the other people have other Elohim. They have other ways of living. They have other rules of government. They have wealth, etc. They don't have me. So I've already put you ahead. So he takes the census of the tribe. When he sets the census, we found that there were 603,550 of those people that were in that group that he put under his instruction. He had a tabernacle made. You'll see that in chapter 2. Not that they made it there, but the tabernacle was already made. We saw it being made probably at least Exodus 40, we see it instituted, but I think about 28 where he chooses the priests, they start making it. They make a tabernacle. Well, Numbers coincide with that. It was made, and around that tabernacle, he put four groups. The tabernacle and the four groups are that many people, so it's got areas of coverage. And so you'd have an east side, you'd have some. On the west side, south side, north side, you'd have some. I'm not going to go through that. I'm just saying he had them in the order that he wanted them to be in. He set a census. Please understand, how does this work with law today? First of all, I'm in the middle. Number two, I know who you are. Number three, I give you an appointment because you're dedicated to me. Each one of you will have a certain job. I'll show you that in a minute. But I want to pick certain ones to be his guardians. Out of all of the tribes, there were 13 tribes. Now, someone could say there were 12 if they say that they're right. But I'm not wrong when I say there were 13 because the tribe of Joseph was split in half. It became the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh. So you still get to have 12 tribes, and God separates one for himself to be the Levitical priesthood. All of his nation, because they were his sons, they were a priesthood. But the priesthood had a priesthood, and the priesthood was the Levites. The Levites act as what we would call the guardians, the soldiers, the police, and the one that would teach God statutory as well as his case law. They would adjudicate between good and evil. They would adjudicate who had to pay. And all of this was done because I got a government and I'm ruling it, but I'm ruling it through people. Have I been clear thus far? So I don't understand how when we get to what we call the New Testament, we have no more of God having a people that are surrounded by him and having a group of people that are his priesthood for the world and having someone inside of that will show them his rules and have order. Because you can't read Matthew chapter 18 and not see that it's enacted there where you got an ought against your brother. You go to him. If you got an ought and he don't hear you, take two or three more. If he don't, then tell it to the assembly. And if he don't tell the assembly, then you let him be like a heathen man and publican. And then you see in Romans chapter 13, that he has ordained that there would be a government to execute judgment on the wicked and bring them terror. That's what God's pattern was, and every one of them gets perverted.
Don't go telling me that that 13 is death for the police. No, God gave parenthood and people pervert that. Molest their own children. Kill their own children. Drown. That woman Susan drowned her children. Then a black man did. They were hunting out black people in South Carolina. And I think it just happened again a few weeks ago. Tim, don't go there.
So then we have groups called the Gershonites. Their particular role was to cover, to carry the curtains and the things that covered the outside and made it a beautiful place and to make sure it was protected from the elements and on the inside the beauty of God. Then he had the Kohathites. They were responsible for doing like what we call the angels. They carried the Ark of the Covenant, which was God's throne on earth, the lampstand, which was his light, and different things, different furniture. That was the sacred stuff. They had to wrap it. And they had to cover it. Each had a job. So, Tim, what's your parallel? Are we not supposed to show what God's righteousness that people can see who we are? Are we not supposed to be carrying God in our heart? If you're going to do the government of God, there are certain things that have to be done. He has to be carried around in us. Am I right, Patrick? If he's not carried around in us, we need to shut up and sit down. And I mean it. I know sometimes Ann say something, somebody be doing, somebody said they need to sit down. You might say it a little strong, but they need to sit down. And then you got the tabernacle, the posts, the crossbars, and the frame they're carrying. If we don't carry God's structure with us, then what are we carrying? The name? I'm in chapter 2. Chapter 2. Well, actually, I've moved to chapter 3 now. Chapter 3. I'm just doing an overview, flyover. Now I'm in chapter 5. In order to extend God's government to the nation, you have to have it in the home. So in the home, God's order must be set upon a firm foundation. The first institution that God set up was marriage. So if there's a problem in the marriage, Numbers chapter 5 and 11, and a man feels his wife has cheated on him, there's a spirit of jealousy, there was a procedure. Where they could scrape dirt off the floor in the tabernacle mixed with water. The woman would make an oath that she hadn't done anything wrong. She'd drink the water. And if she did, God would embarrass her. Her thigh would rot. There must be a horrible smell, a rotting thigh, and her belly would swell. You ever smell somebody's sore before when it's rotting? Yeah, but that's what would happen. Justice. In the fifth verse of the fifth chapter, justice. If you stole something to somebody, it showed that you had to pay back. This is God's government being set up, and the Levites are the one to restore it. Secondarily, if we drop down a little more to about the ninth chapter, we see that the Passover is reinstituted because of the fact I need you to always remember you are under me because you were bought with a price. I redeemed you. I need you to always remember that you have no enemy that's bigger than you. And that now that you're representing my government, you're not less. You're more. Somebody told me today, seven people that follow the word of God is better than, I forgot what the rest of it was, but what he was saying is seven people that's going to follow God and his holy commandment is better than multitudes upon multitudes that's going to do evil. Is that a good recapitulation of what you were saying, my brother? So now the Passover is reinstituted for those that are not clean enough to take it. You go back and you can do it on the next month. Then we have a group of people that determine we want righteousness so much and we want to be in the presence of God, but we're not in the position of being the priest. He set aside there's a way that you can get closer to God. It's called a Nazarite vow. In the Nazarite vow, they would abstain from certain things and they would not shave their head, and et cetera, because they're going to let their hair grow and it would be long just like the high priest band. And they would dedicate themselves to God. And when they dedicated themselves to God, I don't know what all benefit they got from that, but it was some benefit. Sometimes God may help people in your assembly that's doing things to be closer to God, encourage them. You don't go and because the people would take the Nazarite and try to get them to drink wine. No, you have people that are dedicated to the kingdom and to the movement. You have people just like that with the state. They're dedicated to the state no matter what the state says. Then we had in the government of God that it was supposed to be blessed. God's government was supposed to be blessed. So much so that he would teach his people, his priests, to pray over them. May Yahweh bless you. May Yahweh protect you and keep you. May Yahweh lift his face upon you. May he, you know, grant you peace. I think as the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you and give you peace. I left out something, but the point is, he wanted them blessed. Why? Because you're not going out in your power. If you're going out in your power, you're not going to get that peace or that shalom. So then they go through and they make offerings to bring their stuff to God's house, all the furnishings and to build up the treasure, because the people that's doing God's work would be paid. And the Bible says in the 9th chapter, something beautiful happened. In God's government, Naomi, it is led by him. The Bible talks about in the 10th chapter, God determines that I want you all to know when I'm calling. So he gave them trumpets. And the trumpets would blow and let them know when to come, when to go. You don't just cause you get upset. Well, we don't have a trumpet. Do we have his word? Is his word like a trumpet? Does his word speak? I want you to understand, not only does his word speak, but he also gave them some more beautiful things. He gave them trumpets and he gave them a cloud. A cloud to lead them by day and a cloud to lead them by night. When you have God's cloud leading you, you're not being led by a multitude. You're being led by him. We have his word. And if we don't strive to have God's word when we have issues with the government, issues with the police force, issues in our home, who's blowing our trumpet? What cloud are we following? Are we following the multitude to do evil? Somebody said, ain't no multitude, it's just me, and I don't like my wife, and I just slapped her. Well, you follow the multitude that have done such things. You follow this culture that your might makes right. And so God shows that it's imperative in his kingdom that he's always honored. You see, it's one thing to say that we want to go get honor when there's a an injustice in the community. But when it comes to his service, we should be the same way. So Nadab and Abihu, they determined that they would mix something in with God's service and his righteous standard, and God killed them. Do y'all remember that? No doubt they probably were drunk, because after that they were not allowed to drink on duty. It was told that they couldn't do that. And so we see that he brought that cloud. I want to go back to the cloud. Saints, if we don't have God's cloud leading us. See, the cloud to me, when we look at the scripture, is the training wheel. We should be able to have God's spirit in us. We have his word. We have his spirit. How is it that we could go out and say that we're demanding justice and tearing up people's houses or tearing up their business that had nothing to do with it? How is it that we can go and destroy every policeman, those that have never done anything wrong? Actually, some of them may be good, have helped people, done things to people. So, I mean, we had a son that was a cop. And he said, there's a lot of people here that don't have integrity. And that what he told us? It was to his chagrin. He was dismayed. If we're going to go and get righteous judgment, we better find the equivalent of God's cloud in all of our dealings with injustices, in all of our dealings with one another. Let's not say we're going to come together and we're going to bring back our black people, our Hebrew brothers together. We're going to bring what we call churches together. We're going to bring people from Africa and different other parts of the world back together, and we're not bringing them together under the cloud. Because then we're going to have a multitude, and everybody's going to have a bunch of words. And in a multitude of words, if we don't have the fear of God, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be much vanity. And so therefore, God has shown how I set up my government. I set up my government with order. I set up my government with righteousness. I set up my government with restitution when you mess up with each other. I set forth my government for you to be led. I set forth my government for you to know that they have time, certain things to be done. And then when the cloud would move. Guess, do y'all remember what Moses would say? He had an amazing thing he would say. It's Numbers chapter 10:35. That's it. Yes, sir. It says, and it came to pass when the ark set forth that Moses said, rise up, Yahweh, and what? And let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. What are we praying? Are we praying for everybody to be saved? Where does maturity come in?
Jesus let the rich young ruler walk away in Mark chapter 10, 21, although he loved him. He said, some things I have to tell you, but you can't bear them. He called some people a twofold child of hell. We need to learn how to pray. Lord, if we don't know when to pray for God to damn somebody, we ought to at least know how to pray, Lord, if they don't change. If they're not going to be brought into subjection, move them out of our way. Let that pebble or that rock get out of my shoe. Get that splinter out of my hand. Get that piece of glass out of my foot. Lord, destroy your enemies. This is warfare. We don't even see it. They're killing our people. They're raping our children. They're starting to give us the vaccines and things and put things in us so that we can totally be under their control.
We don't even see it.
Rise up, Lord, please.
Let your enemies flee and destroy those that hate you. And then he says, in the 11th chapter, we deal with defiance. The children of Israel, what they determined is some of them start complaining. Because we don't like God's judgment doesn't come the way we want to. And we don't get to take over as fast as we wanted to. Because they knew that they were supposed to be getting the land of Canaan. But I got to get order first. So then God just sends fire down and kills some of the multitude. Is that what's going to happen to us? And we get in certain crowds and maybe they just start shooting randomly. Maybe they throw tear gas out and you have asthma and you get put to death. Or they drop a bomb. Don't tell me they won't do these kind of things. Because have they ever dropped a bomb on black people before? Have they ever dropped a bomb on us before? Have they ever injected us with stuff to kill us before? Have they ever did things or allowed things to happen with water to poison our children before? Have they? So what I'm saying is, you complaining against what God's doing and you're not walking with God, your protection is gone. So he says, the fire falls on them that complain, and what they say, we remember the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Sometimes people don't want God's kingdom to advance because they're okay. They didn't kill my child. My child wasn't shot. My child didn't have a police officer's knee on his neck. You see, the thing that, and those people, every one of them were men, black men. You cut off a seed. You cut off a tree. When are we going to get to the place that we realize that we can complain over and over and over about stuff and we're not doing God's will, we're part of the problem? These people are complaining, they're not seeing God's will, and they are completely complacent with what they have. Sometimes people get to be a movie star, sometimes they get to be a singer, they get to be an actress, and they don't demand justice. What they'll demand is what the multitude say so that they can stay in power, so they can keep making moves, so they can keep having their music distributed, so that they can keep being a spokesperson for you. You need to get to where you see the government of God. Was that clear? Because it happens so much. They'll probably parade somebody around you a little, you all stop shooting. You all start doing something in Ferguson, and you all just ask for more LGBT rights. Watch it. Watch it. Let us change the age of the children. Let them consent to sex so that when you rape an 8-year-old, when you rape a 9-year-old, you can say they seduced you. Yes, this is what they do. This is what they do. Beta Ginsburg ain't no different when she's talking about reduce it to 12. When you want to reduce the consent to 12, then what's wrong with 10? And so Moses tells God it's too heavy to set up this government. He chooses 70. The amazing thing about him choosing 70 in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, I'm just telling you where it is because I want you to hear this. People say you're not supposed to judge and God is the only judge. In the government of God, you see right here, God not only had Moses as a judge, they chose 70 elders to judge. That was their job. He anoints them to judge. So when people say you're not supposed to judge, that shows a lack of biblical integrity. It shows that they should not be in a position to talk because the words that they say are going to be vanity. They're going to cause problems. They'll follow a multitude to do evil. These men in particular, God gave them the wisdom to judge, but he also showed them how to do it. If you look at it on your own in Numbers chapter 16, 19 through 25, God's spirit came upon them, and they were not supposed to judge according to people's faith. They weren't supposed to judge by you white or you black, but by righteousness. Then Miriam and Aaron tried him. Because in the government, we feel all of us have equal say, even if it's different.
In the government of God, God does have a hierarchy, but it doesn't make you better. So Miriam and Aaron had to be chastised and brought back in the line. Why? Because you're going to have people in your assembly that you know many times that will go against what God has been doing. And then you had people that were supposed to do God's will. And here's a really beautiful part right here. The 13th chapter of Numbers. They were supposed to go and take over the land to set up the kingdom of God. They were scared to go. So they sent out scouts. I want you to know what the scouts were supposed to do. They were supposed to find out what the inhabitants of the land were like. That's Numbers 13, 17 through 19. And they were supposed to bring back samples. Numbers 13, 20 through 25. Let me explain. How in the world does that fit in our world today? They if they're destroying property and these men get killed. Well, if you want to go and figure out how to destroy the works of the devil, if you want to learn how to put God's kingdom in control, then tell me this. Shouldn't you find out what laws they have written? Shouldn't you find out about what power they're operating? Shouldn't you find out what they're doing with different laws that take your children and destroy your children, H.R. 22? Shouldn't you find out what bills they have written right now to shut down your assemblies? Shouldn't you find out right now what they're doing to take the authority of you over your children right now? Shouldn't you find out what they're doing that they're going to be able to teach and make you take in vaccinations, I won't say inoculation shots, vaccinations and make you do certain things or certain things you have to leave out with your children? Shouldn't you at least be wise as they were when they went and checked out the land to see what it was like? We often don't know all we're doing is singing kumbaya, dadgum y'all. You got to come off of that. You got to have a Yah that's powerful in your life. We don't want the words. They had a Lord Baal, and then they had to deal with Elijah's Lord. And one of them stood up. When you don't know what the wicked are doing, you're not like the men of Issachar. The men of Issachar, they understood the time. But I'm saying, you don't see what they're doing. They went to see what they were doing to find their weaknesses, to find the areas and the point of attack. I think that was brilliant. And I think if we as the children of God, if we're going to say we got injustices, we want things to be straightened out, we need to see what's going on over there. We need to quit waiting on CNN to tell us, NBC, MSNBC, Russia, whatever. We need to start looking at things ourselves and see what the detriment would be to us. And as a man named Randy Short, write it down, Randy Short. You can look at him on YouTube, and a lot of times he'll let you know what's going on in their camp. Dr. Randy Short, let's give him his doctor back. Dr. Randy Short. We need to know. Now, what else? Bring back samples. They were supposed to bring back fruits of that land. Do we bring back any of the documentation? Do we bring back anything of their agenda? Do we even get to see what it's like? Do we even bring back some word that somebody want to hear? No, we just go along and we don't do the judgment of God. And this is why you have these riots. You have these riots because we don't know the wisdom of God. We don't know the word of God. And we keep following a multitude to do evil. And we act like God has no remedy. And no, these churches are not going to get together. I'm sitting here in Gainesville, Georgia right now. I don't know how many black churches are right now. We're not going to get together until the government of God becomes paramount. And I'm not talking about the movie theater. I'm talking about the highest thing. When the ordinances of God become the thing that we bond ourselves under, we would be impenetrable in Gainesville. Do you hear me? We would be impenetrable. Nobody could stop us. Why? Because God would put his fear and his dread on us. But long as everybody got their little island and we're not seeking to find where we can build God's kingdom, then somebody can say, let's burn this building. Let's burn that building. And this stuff happened right after the pandemic where a lot of people already been out of work. And you don't think that there's an election thing behind it. They don't want the man that's elected to be elected. They got an agenda that they want to push with this pedophilia. And we don't even know why. Because we're thinking about church. You ever notice I don't talk to you all about getting saved? If you're not saved, let me tell you, you will be damned. You are already damned, okay? If you don't believe God's word, like you say right now, you're already damned already because you have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. But if you are saved, I'm not here to teach you over and over and over again how to be saved. I'm trying to teach you how to implement the kingdom of God and the rule of God in the land so that God can be glorified, so that God can be magnified, so that people will see our good works and glorify our Father who deserves it, which is in heaven, so that the man could want to know, where did you all learn how to have this kind of righteous judgment? Where did you learn it? We learned it from God's word. His word is the cloud. His word is the trumpet. His word is the fiery pillar that we go by. We don't want to follow a multitude to do evil. And so what ends up happening is in the community, remember I had that read, well, I read it where God would be your sanctuary and your dread, and he would deal with Jerusalem and Israel. The problem that they had is that you had 10 people. Just like, let's take the 12 spies and let's make them an assembly of men, just like 12 different churches. You had 10. We can't do it. It'll be over there. We can't do what God say. We can't. And you got 2 that said, we're God's army. We got God. Our God is our governor. We can take it. They'll be our bread. You saying it'll eat us up. Well, I'm saying we'll eat them up. You say we look like the grasshopper. I said, no, we are the giants. And those 10 men that did not believe that the government of God could be implemented over there, they did not believe that the government of God was real, did not believe that the government of God is an invisible government, but is built on his laws and his statutes of righteousness. The ones that didn't believe it, they called the people to hear. And guess what? The people got the curse of God for 40 years to stay there. That's the 13th and 14th chapter of Numbers. Then after God declared that since you won't implement my governmental rule over the world and over yourselves, I'm going to just, you'll be damned here for 40 years and let your children go. Then guess what? That same multitude that we're going to come together and riot, or we're going to come together and we're going to attack them. We're going to go over there, we're going to fight them, and we're going to get God's righteous judgment in the land after God has said, don't go. So you have one time when the multitude said, let's go do what God says, and let's be scared and play it safe. Then you have another time when God said, ain't no more safe, you can't go. Then you follow the multitude, and they went over there, and they got smitten and got killed. Do you understand that even if you don't understand the government of God, learn God's governing principles and live your life by that, implement it in your home and in your family. And so when God did that to them, we see that God told them, you're not going to get to go. But Joshua and Caleb, those are the ones that got to go. So what's the point of all this with numbers? The point of all this with numbers in looking at how we look at today, we have real enemies in the land. And often the enemies are among us. You see, most people didn't look at the 10 spies as being the enemies. But let's see what happened. If the 10 spies that brought back the evil report weren't the enemies, did they do worse to them than the Midianites did? The Midianites, go look at the number of how many of the Midianites died versus how many died from the 10 spies. I think over 600,000 died because of that. Even those that died during the time of the Midianites, though, they should have already been in the promised land. If we don't begin to understand that when you follow a multitude to do evil, you're not following God. You're following the government of man. When you follow the government of God, you're going to learn how to treat each other. You're going to make his word the number one thing that there is. You're not going to go falsely, indiscriminately tearing up people's building. You're not going to falsely, indiscriminately just kill people. You're going to learn, figure out what's going on. Diligent inquiry. Do your spy work. Bring the information back. Look and see what God's word says. Then move forward. And it would be so good if those of us that say that we love God would hammer out and see, what does God say? I don't care what auspices or the name of your religion or your church is in, because I'm not going to say that I'm going to go that way with a Muslim. He doesn't have the same agenda that I have. He might not like it because black people getting hurt. But if you're going to start giving praise to Allah and I'm giving praise to Yahweh Elohim, I'm following Yahweh Elohim, and I'm going to stick with Yahweh Elohim. I don't get to the place that I forget what God I'm serving. I don't get to the place that I realize He's got a government. Allah was not even letting but the moon God and the oak tree God. I'm not following another Elohim. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They start mixing other things. And I'm not going to follow Catholicism. I'm not following the vicar, as he is called, of Christ, a slave seller, the Catholic Church. I'm following the Word of God. I'm not going to be following Baptist, Methodist, and all of that, because I don't know what you all mean. Sometimes when I look at you, you got different things. I'm going to follow the Word of God. If you happen to be Baptist, let's go together. If you happen to be Methodist, let's go together. If you happen to be Church of God, let's go together. But I found in every one of the religion, you have people that have their own religion within inside that religion, because what they do is what they believe. When you find somebody that's interested in the government of God, it's not that we sit back and acquiesce, and let's learn to do the first thing first. Let's, Lord, learn to pray against our enemies. Let's ask God, Lord, if you won't change their heart and make them change these laws, kill some people, destroy them. Let their fortunes go down. Don't just expose them. Show that you're still the God of armies. Replace them with people that will follow you. Replace them with men like you did Daniel. Replace them like what you did with men like Nehemiah. Lord, build your holy throne. Build your righteous government in our hearts. And let us not buckle even to the death, so that we don't follow a multitude to do evil when we are demanding righteousness. And if you don't get it in your life, you'll be like those in Hebrews. Some were tortured, tormented, afflicted, wandered around in goatskin, sheepskin, dens, and caves of the earth, of whom the world was not worthy. They didn't receive the promise, but God had a better thing for them, that they without us, I mean, that they would not get it without us. I submit to you, wouldn't you rather be one that God has approved of if you didn't see it happen in your life?
Wouldn't you rather be one that wanted it and advocated for it? You can't make everybody change. You can control you. It's the one thing that we saw in, when God chose Abraham. I know him. He'll order his house. He'll order his family. Those of us who hadn't ordered our house like we should, or we've been half-ponging it, or just one side of your bottom, there is a word for it. Ordering our family, you got to step up. The wicked order their house, and they order yours. They order through TV. They order through the news. They order through media. They order through circumstances that they make happen. It's called social engineering. We're the people of God, saints. It shouldn't be that we're caught up in riots that just destroy and don't make changes. And then when they do make changes, who are you begging to make? You begging Joe Biden to make a change. You begging Donald Trump to make a change. You begging the Republican Party to make a change, the Democrat or the conservative. They may make one change that lines up with God's word, but why? We got to get to the place that we know that our hope and our strength is in God. And if those of us that say we love God demanded righteous judgment while there's still time, while they're still fighting for your precious votes or not wanting you to vote, we can affect change. But even if it's not with vote, we can affect change anyway. Why? Because our God rules heaven and earth. He sets up one, takes down another. Let us move toward maturity, to the government of God. He didn't call us to go and sit up in a building and sing and clap our hands every day for 10 years. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Help us to grow up and follow you, not a multitude, no matter how well-meaning it is, that you have a government, you have a kingdom, and we need to advocate it. We need to speak it. We need to talk about it. Lord, people wouldn't want to declare and decree and speak things into existence so they can have money, they can have a car, and they can heal. Lord, but when you told us to speak your statutes and your judgments and that the words of our mouth would be pleasing to you, that we would speak what you said, we don't want to do that. Lord, change our thoughts and change our hearts, and it'll change our words. It'll change our character so that we can implement your government in the kingdom. Amen.
Amen. And even so, amen. That was the way I decided that I want to do a recap and start bringing us back up into Numbers, because I keep saying that Numbers is the government of God. And without going through and giving everything in Numbers, I hit some of the highlights. He set up a nation, set up a people, set up order, show them what to do, how I'm going to be with you, what I'm going to do, how to get close to me, how to follow me, how to do so-and-so. What happens if you don't follow me? You're following somebody else. How does it happen whenever you don't go and take and do what I want you to do in the land? I'll make it where you don't get to do it and somebody else will. Is that where we are now? Is that where we are? Are we on the cusp right now? Are we on the cusp right now that there's time for us to do something righteous? And if we don't, it's going to be left for children. Is that where we are? Is that how we want to go down? Any comments? Because I'm pretty sure that somebody might not have been clear. It might have been that I said something somebody didn't like. Any comments? Additions? Right? Did I provoke any thought that somebody want to say, you left this out? Give it. Sound like I hear somebody on the conference line. Anyone on the conference line have anything they want to add, take away?
I have a question. Hi, how are you?
We're doing well, and you?
Very good. I think you forgot to mention the other scriptures where we actually do stand. I think, did I hear you correctly?
Will you repeat it? Again, because I think it's I forgot to mention the sin, the scripture where we do sin. Is that what you think? Is that what you said?
No, that you would give the scriptures where we actually do standing in the right way. Because you said that riot is against God's government. So where
right.
is the other one? I think you said you
okay.
want to mention the other scriptures, but I don't know if you forgot or I missed those scriptures.
Okay, what I did was, it doesn't use the word riot. They followed the multitude to do evil. Sometimes they would, the Zakari, they would stab people like they give people's knives to do in Antifa. They came together and they had a big mob and they said, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. They did the same thing. They told, take this evil man away from the earth. They would come together and have these tumults. And one time, one of the guys said, we're going to be questioned about this, what we're doing. And in looking at time, I knowing these kind of things by heart, I didn't exactly know where the verses were. But these mobs would come together, and I picked the mob that went against the Messiah and one of his apostles, Paul. Throughout Jeremiah, they would come against Jeremiah. They would come against Isaiah. Different times, they would... The different ones, and the ones that I picked were the ones that were supposed to be following him. So how much more the ones that's not following him? I mean, because we could have talked about what happened during the time of the Maccabees, but that would have prolonged what happened with when Alexander came in. The same thing happened under Nebuchadnezzar and the Persian. You want to force them. Haman wanted to kill all of the people. And so he would have his mob that he was going to have set up. And they had a certain day they were going to kill all the Jews. And I didn't say Jewish people either. Go ahead, Precious.
I was going to say, I thought that she was asking, if you're going to show us where we're not supposed to do those things, then show us what we are supposed to be doing in times like this. So, because in my purview of what I thought about this is traditionally what it's done. And this is, you gather together and you have people protest and you go to the place or in the city, wherever the incident took place or injustice took place, and you're there, you speak and you demand righteousness to take place or justice to take place, is the way that they said. So if I'm in that city and I'm at that precinct, then I mean, is that wrong to do? Because it looks like from what I was seeing, and what I was reading, and some of the things that I've seen that's been passed down through at the really was seeking justice for Catholics.
Right.
And that they were the multitude that came to the east.
Correct.
And that the people there, this time to get videos of people saying, hey, look, these people are doing this.
Let me make sure. Can you hear her?
I can hear her, but not clear. So I'm thinking, I hear her like far away, but probably
okay,
I'm releasing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Give me a second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to add another microphone. Okay. Patrick, will you help Tim? Oh, she's going to do it. I'm going to put that microphone down there closer and stick it into the conference. And something told me, it's like, because I hear you well, but then did the light come on?
Can you hear me?
Exactly, yeah, I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so if necessary, if you speak, they can come that far. You got a Kindred you can put it on. And you... Gary, will you put a chair right there so whoever come up can sit in the chair and they don't have to stand up and feel like that's a whole lot of work?
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you very well now. Go ahead.
Okay, what I was saying is that it looked like the multitude that followed the true protesters were there to do evil. And this is how you get video footage of people who came out and, you know, they were saying, hey, don't do that, don't do that. And so they were tearing up things and breaking out windows and stuff. So it looked like what was traditionally has been told us, this is what you do when you have a peaceful protest. And you go into that particular city where the injustice has taken place and you gather together and you demand justice. I don't know if you just do speeches, I don't know if you just... You don't say, hey, we are here, we demand that you do this, we're going to interrupt traffic, or whatever. But this is how it's been traditionally taught to us, that this is what we do to seek justice in this nation as a people. And I say as a people, I do mean just as black people. And so what I was seeing is it looks like it started out with that. But then there's another group, the multitude came in that were actually doing it. And this is how you got the video footage of them saying these people, people are doing it. They showed video of the people that were riding and who were going in looting. And these people didn't look like us. The majority of them did not look like us.
What they look like?
They were white.
Okay, let's say it. They were white.
So,
and then they get stuff done to us.
You know, I think what she was asking is that give us the scriptures of where what we are supposed to do in a time like this. It's like I see that you showed that how dangerous a multitude can be when they come together to do evil and so and to risk judgment. And you've shown that, but in this case, it's a sort of different because I can see Paul and the examples you gave in the book of Acts and in Matthew and then also in Luke, that the person that was there was innocent. So it was Jesus, it was Paul, he was innocent, you know, and these things with Stephen, he was innocent. So when I look at what happens now, what was happening with us now, the person was not innocent. And so, but I understand that you're saying that do not follow these, you know, these people who are riding and don't do that. But I think it started off being a peaceful protest and that these people came and infiltrated and began to do things. And so I think it is a thing, and it's like, okay, so what would God have us to do when an injustice like this happened? Is protest okay? Is it, you know, do we go in that city and we demand justice, or what do we do it over just one individual everywhere, speak about what should be done. You know, whoever has a platform, if you have a video platform, if you have a podcast, do we all just speak of the injustice that's done and what we'd like to see happen? Because the man was eventually, I mean, shortly after he was arrested. So it would look like that because the riots came, because the fires were set, because the places were looted, then it's like we have to do something. And so I'm not sure, but I'm supposed to know.
Is that what you were asking? Is that what you were asking, Rocio? Or is that just the information?
Yes, that was the question I was asking. I think you mentioned you were going to give some scriptures as examples, but I think I've started to remember some of them that probably.
The one that I brought up and didn't read is when they did the same kind of thing with Korah, and they had to separate from the tents of Korah. Back in Exodus, I believe it's the 32nd chapter, they built the golden calf. And then when Moses came down, they had to separate from those that were doing the riotous living and the things that they were doing. And then the Bible teaches us have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so when I was talking about the spies, this is when you start to learn. If this is what happens when you do a peaceful protest and you talk about the things of God, bring your own cameras. Bring your own cameras. Have your cameras recording your people and the people that's not us. Not only bring your own camera, but you denounce the works of darkness. You denounce that. This is not what we're doing. We're not here to prove your agenda. We're not here to do progressive. We're not here to do a LGBTQ. We're not here to do Democrat. We're not here to do Republican. We are here to do righteousness. Because that's what Black Lives Matter is, and they come in and get on these things. And I've told people to go and look up the founders of it and read their biographies. Read who they're married to. Read what they advocate. But you're going to attach that to black. Black, it has nothing to do with what you're doing righteously or ungodly. It has nothing to do with that, and it's been attached to that. It has nothing to do with you cutting off your weenie or you getting a penis made. It has nothing to do with transgender. It has to do with the most powerful God ruling and governing this earth that comes down to him. So what we do is we learn what God's standard is, and first we practice it. Please, please, if we don't practice it, when we go out and demand it, you may get some movement, but if this is who you are, you don't get bought off. Because you get people that's bought off. The FBI has been known. I saw a video years ago where a man was talking about it and showed it to me. He said, they paid us to go in and see what King and different ones were doing. And when we had our own government, when we had our own movie theaters, when we had our own businesses, and they would pay us to go in and find out what was going on, and then we would sabotage it. And burn it down. And like when in Atlanta, when they got ready to build the first Georgia Dome, do you know mysteriously the houses started burning down around that area? And that area price is jacked up really high. What we got to do, Rocio, we got to stop saying, this is the first thing I can tell a person, stop making the Old Testament, as we call it, be versus the New. Stop it. Stop making it that the Hebrew portion of the scripture, we say that it has nothing to do with the new. Because I'm going to tell you now, the Bible doesn't tell you in the New Testament not to have sex with an animal. It does not. Show it to me, I'll give you $500. It doesn't tell you that. So does that mean you can? Don't tell me people don't. Don't tell me that. They have ranches where they do that. But here's the point. The righteousness of God's law is revealed in his scriptures. The value of life, the value of not stealing, the value of the parent. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 15, that same righteous Jesus says, didn't it say that if you strike father or mother, be put to death? Didn't he say that? But then again, you got a dichotomy that's called dispensationalism that will say everything Jesus said was before he died. So it's only what the apostles said after he died that count. Really? Really? You're going to take the Messiah's word and make him nothing. Again, first, get your heart right. How are you going to get your heart right? And you demand righteous judgment in yourself. We need to start realizing what is it in those Hebrew scriptures that's the equity of it? That's what some of our white brothers say. It makes sense. Equity. What is the thrust of it? What's the thrust of it, okay? The thrust of having no other God, that means I don't need another opinion when I go out to do a march. I'm going to be under God's rule. The Messiah said don't lust after another woman, so I do that. I've cheated on Ann. But the point being made, look at what the scriptures teach in its laws, its statutory laws, and remember that Jesus himself said we're to fulfill the law. Said he fulfilled it, and we're supposed to fulfill it. Our righteousness was supposed to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. Then, if you notice, he says in Romans 8 and 4, I'll go 1 through 4 because people don't know Romans 8 and 4 off the rip. They'll quote to you, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Okay, but as a qualification, who walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. Then he says, for the law, what law? Which law are you not under? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in my flesh, that the righteousness of God's law should be able to live in me, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 7 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's 6. 7 says, for the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Once we become subject to the law of God, oh, glory, then we're going to know what to do. Because they that are not subject to the law of God, they can't be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And we need to do like the spies did. It's like we know God, but spy the land. You want to go spy it, bring a report. If you see this is what they do. If you see these other groups come in, they are not of us. They're not of us. Don't let them infiltrate. If somebody's supposed to be of us today, we denounce what they say. We denounce that this is not what we do. We are the righteousness of God in the land. That's how, can I say this? Andrea, what was that picture where all those people had superpowers? They didn't have a belly button years ago. They used to have superpowers. Well, they got a lot of people now. They have heroes. Yeah, but heroes is fine. All these people have superpowers. They don't know what they are at first. We supposed to have the power of God. If we have the power of God, we always say they're not one of us. They're not walking in his power. Or they were with us and they wrong. We denounce it. He need to get this right. Until we get to the place like that, all we're going to do is a group of people come together. Anybody can infiltrate us and take over our group. But did that help in it, Rocio?
Yes, it is. It is. Thanks. Thank you.
I'm glad you asked that and made that clarification, Andrina. Thank you for hearing better than me. You know the thing? As I saw you made a statement on the Facebook. You come up here and have something to say, Pastor Gray. I need you to come up. I know you're a pastor, but the people, if I got to repeat what you say, I'll mess it up probably.
I was looking at the chat.
Okay.
Talking about the law of God being in our heart.
And there's your microphone.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And with the law of God being in our heart.
Yes, sir.
That means now that we desire to honor God by our speech, by our behavior, by how we treat one another. But Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading from verse 3, and it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablets of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, him being God, and he shall direct thy path. That has nothing to do with flesh. That has everything to do with being obedient to the law of God. And that's where we see the problem with the rioting and the protesting going on. They are being governed by flesh. And you've already stated just a few minutes ago that the flesh is enmity against God. They are in it. They have no association. And that's the problem. They are being governed by flesh. And the flesh is being overrided by their emotion. But where do we see God? We don't see God in the action. Because if we saw God in the action, there would be some praying. There would be some, come on, let allow God to help us.
Yes.
For justice.
Yes.
Because throughout the ages of our Bible, God has always defended his people. He's always fought the battle for his people when they learned to trust him and let him have the battle. Then he fought the battle for them. But anytime we decide to take it upon ourselves and do the battle, it always created a problem. And majority of the time, we would lose. It's only when we step back and let God have it. First of all, he had to have us. Had to have our undivided attention, meaning our trust. Then he stepped in and took over. And that's what it's going to take now. You said something earlier that I thought was very key. Where is the church? Where is the religious leaders? The bishops, the prophets, the evangelists. I haven't seen them on TV. I saw everybody else on TV, but I haven't seen them.
T.I. Killer Mike.
What's the guy's name? Jamie Foxx and all these folks. But where are the ones who's supposed to know the law of God? But the key is still in the hand of the church, in the hands of God's people. Once again, if God's people that are called by his name humble ourselves, pray, turn from our wicked way, God said he would hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and here it is, heal the land. Because that means now he can get back into the midst of stuff. We push God out. Nobody to have no church. No coming together. Let's not talk about church because we got the COVID-19. Who report will you believe?
Hey.
If God be God, serve him. But if they are going to be God, serve him. But I choose to believe the report of the Lord. And I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to follow what I see on TV. That's what y'all already stated. Our government is so crooked.
It is.
They have planted stuff and made wrong look right. And made right look so wrong till we find it. And everybody's running in a frenzy. The Bible said, be still and know that I am God. Stop running here and there. Look in the eye of God's word and let God speak to your heart and God will lead you. And that's where I am. That's what I believe. I'm not running here and there. Close up the church. We've been closed up ever since they said that. Start out with COVID-19. Now we got a worse problem. All because we don't want church no more. And when you don't have church, I know it ain't talking about the building. We talking about God's people. That means now there's no praying going on.
That's
there's
sad.
No worship going on.
That's so sad.
There's no praise going on.
That's sad.
That means Satan has a foothold. Now how do we get rid of Satan? Bring the people of God back together from across the nation. Get us back together and start praying. Watch what God do. First of all, the church got to repent first for buying the report of the devil. Hey, if we trust God, trust him. Not saying not be foolish, be cautious, but trust God. If he took care of us back during slavery, why wouldn't he take care of us? If he took care of us during the Hebrew time, why wouldn't he do it now? He's the same God. He has not changed. What's the problem with us trusting him? What's the problem with us saying, God, hey, I'm going to go off of what you say. And if God be for me, who can be against me?
Name him.
Am I right?
Name him. Who can be against us? Name him.
Who can be against it? Government can't do nothing to me. They don't own the world. Well, they don't give me a stimulus package. So what? I trust God. God said, when I call upon his name in the time of trouble, he'll say he would answer me. What am I relying on the government for? My hope and everything there is supposed to be in God through Christ Jesus. Now that's where the problem come in. We stop trusting. We start believing everything the government says. Democrats say one thing, Republicans say another, and we just like playing ping pong, boom, 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 back and forth. Don't know who to trust.
And then the media is like the fourth arm of government.
That's right.
And we believe the media
can do no wrong.
As a matter of fact, what does Andrina call? She got a word, a medium.
There you go.
The medium.
And they propaganda lies. Propaganda lies. We have to go back to doctrinal teaching of the Word of God. Stay there. Jesus still the answer. Jesus still. And anytime we go back, we have a problem.
Is this guy Killer Mike a rapper? I don't know.
Yeah, he's a rapper.
You know what he told CNN? He said, you know what he told CNN? I think he said karma is a, and I think he used the two letters, the MF, but what, anyway, he said, you all spread all this fear and stuff. You need to stop putting fear in people all day long, 24, something like that, 24 hours a day. He said, it came back on you. You get rid of their hope and despair. You give them hope and despair. They have nothing that they can have hope in. I know when I do service work, it's like the news is so bad, I buy news, okay? I pay to get a different set of news so that I can hear another side, okay? I do that because anytime somebody give you free hamburgers and sometimes they give you free drink, what's in it? And as a woman, if you go to the club and somebody keep getting you free drinks and buying you food, what meaneth that? Well, if somebody give me free education and free school, what meaneth that? Any more comments? None? What about the teenagers? I hear somebody. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think I like what the preacher said, and I'm reminded. Most people won't hold on to God long enough till the change comes. It just reminds me when God wrestled with Jacob. Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And this young generation here, they don't want to wait for anything. And as the preacher said, you can't beat people in the flesh. For the Bible says, no good thing dwelleth in the flesh. And that's my comment. I agree with everything you said. You and the pastor and your wife.
Yes, sir. Well, I think we agree with what you said. Okay. unless a person get Christ in them, they have no good thing in their flesh. The only thing that's going to move you from having no good thing in your flesh is to get Christ in you, the hope of glory. But without that, I'm just another dude with a mouth.
That's it.
Looking to see if there's any comment on the Facebook. Anybody on the Facebook, you can make a comment. If I can read it, I'll read it out and try to address it. Andrina, did you have anything else, precious love? Please. Gary, come up so they can hear you. I don't want to have to repeat you.
Said something from Hebrews 11.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure I understood what you were saying.
Well, I'm glad you're making me clear it up.
I know you did say that you should yourself and be one that God was, because you were talking about how there are many who did not see the fulfillment of what God was talking about, but that they were in God's favor because of what you were asking. You said something, and I was trying to hear it, but what you're saying.
I do. The beautiful thing is that, see, when people think of Hebrews and they say, now faith is, you get to see that Noah was able to save the world. You see that Cain did not have as good a testimony as Abel. You see that Sarah was able to receive seed. You see that Abraham looked for a city that has foundations. They had subdued kingdoms and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. And people are like, yay, God, you're so good. You're so great. And I was saying that there are times that we can stand for God's righteousness and we may not see the judgment of justice of God in the land. We may not live to see it. It may not be as many as God want to overturn. But I said, but like in Hebrews chapter 11.
What does God want to overturn? As many what? There may not be as many as God want to overturn.
It may not be as many people as God want to overturn. He may want to do it by a few. He may want to do it by many. He may want at least 100. He might want 300. May only be 200. I'm just using this based on I've seen things that he's done. Like with Gideon, he had way more than that. It's like, no, I don't want that. That's too many. And then sometimes he can do things with just one. David actually won that war for them. So the point will be made when I pull this out. In verse 32 of Hebrews 11, it talks about Gideon. So if you know about Gideon, how he won a war, Barak, he won a war against the Ammonites, Samson, and that was Jephthah the Ammonites. Barak, I think, was the Midianites. And Samuel and the prophets. But here's the point that people like. Who through faith they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness that we're looking for. They obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They did all those great things and received stuff from the dead. But listen to verse 36. This may be us if our generation doesn't turn. Others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were stoned asunder. They were tempted. They were slain of the sword. These are injustices. These are people that love God. Please hear this. These are injustices. And don't just read it as they're like, oh, that happened to them. These are injustices where they went through it and held on. They were slain with the sword. They wandered around in sheepskin, goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And then he says, this is my view of them. The world saw them as nothing. Killer. Get rid of them. Injustice is what you get. It says of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these having obtained a good report. Good God Almighty. They look like the ones. You didn't have enough faith. You got burned up. You had walked with God. That's why you were in the mouth of the lion. God went with you. That's why that injustice happened. That's why you kept saying, come by here, Lord. That's why you kept singing, we will overcome. It says, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God ever provided some better thing for us that without us, they should not be made perfect or complete. I'm saying that we going to do God's will. If we expect to see the end instead of expect to be faithful, we can be disappointed. But if we expect to be faithful, we can obtain a good report. God can look at us and say, Tim, the world wasn't worthy of you. Gary, the world wasn't worthy of you. Gray, the world wasn't worthy of you. Or it could be one of those that you drew back to perdition. Did that help any on that Hebrews 11?
Yes.
I'm glad you made me bring it up.
Yeah.
I'm glad because somebody else, I might have said it in such a way. The point was is that getting what we want, getting justice right now, it does not mean that God's not pleased with us being faithful. Petra, you want to say something on the microphone? Andrina, you... He said no, but that's hard to believe. Now, you know, Patrick, full of word, y'all.
Yeah.
For a young man, woo-wee. Andrina, you don't have anything else. I know I provoked something in you. I do. I've been married to you a lot of years.
Like I said, I'm a thing that I've already said before.
But then say it in a different way.
I don't know if I can. Our problem is that we have a lot of churches and we have a lot of people inside of these buildings.
That's right.
But we're not of one mind.
That's right.
And we can't agree on what righteousness is.
That's right.
Because we have what you call a popular or a pop culture Christianity.
That's right.
You have your Joel Osteen, you have all the major ones on television that reach millions of people. And there's a pop culture Christianity. That teaches you to name and claim things, to speak, you can speak things into existence. It's all about yourself, and it's
right.
All about what you can have in this earth. And you got to get it now, and then you're going to be raptured out. And so righteousness is not being taught. How to walk with the Lord, how to get along with your family members, how to get along with people on your job. This is real life. And so, but you teach us this mysterious Christianity that is, we pray for things, to ask for things that we want, and not pray for His will to be done.
Mm.
And so, as long as we can't agree on righteousness, if we don't come back inside of the building and begin to teach the people what righteousness really is, you're going to be ill prepared, just like they're ill prepared now.
Amen.
If you haven't already decided and already know how to pray by yourself, something is wrong with you.
It is.
If you haven't learned to exhort yourself and make yourself feel good with spiritual songs and songs by yourself, something is wrong. And so we're eager to get back to what?
Get back to more deadness for a lot of people.
And we need to agree on it. And we, I mean us, black people, we need to see both.
Amen.
Because we're suffering for our unrighteousness, but there's a suffering for righteousness' sake that's better. And it's like you're not escaping.
No.
You're not escaping. You're still suffering. But if you do it for His sake, happier you.
And they plan to take our children's hand. They're taking our children.
Yeah.
They go in our schools to take our children. Oh, one day I may have to just show you some of the things that I've seen that's been planned for the children all the way back to the first education czar that I paid attention to. No, I didn't like her either. That was I think she was a surgeon general.
Research on how we got where we are and why we're here.
That's right.
So, because a lot of us don't understand that this has been an institution, a process, right, a concerted effort, you know, to bring us to the place where we are where we are, that we can't discern between good and evil, that we are so taken in by the media and the propaganda and all this entertainment that we are not demanding. Most of the time, we don't demand judgment.
That's right.
Oh, he's trying to not ask.
Is he still trying to be part of
it? Yeah, so but we have to see what happened to us, that we've been conditioned to be this way. And there has been, they do
surveys.
Research and survey on us and experiment and we're going to erase your name and erase your mind and do certain things with you and use certain tones and music to get you more susceptible to do what you hear in the music. And these things, this is warfare. It's a quiet war, and we don't even know we're in it.
Can
so we pray for the wrong thing.
Can I look at it like this? And most people are...
Come on, Pastor Gray. Somebody online might want to hear what you're saying. You hear the other man said, he liked what the pastor said. That was Brother Charles.
Most people disagree. I said, if you... think about sports as the black race.
Mm-hmm.
We've been the most hated, the most downtrodden people in the entire world. You have to ask a question. Why?
Why? Yes.
Why? Here's the question. Here's the answer. Satan knows who we are.
Yeah.
He knows who the first man was.
Yeah.
He knows who Jesus, his real identity, was.
Tell it.
Or his color is concerned.
Tell it.
That's why the nation hates us, not so much that it's just a spiritual thing, but because we are the first chosen people. And that's why it's been such a fight against the black population. Satan has an all-out war against black men because of who we are to God.
Yes.
We are the apple of God's eye. And therefore, Satan has upped his beat on the black population. Get rid of as many of them as you possibly can.
Yes.
Before they realize who they are. Because once we realize who we are, the black man stands up, takes his position as king that which we were born.
Yeah.
Have I got a witness?
Yes.
We were born into this because of God made us that way.
Yes.
And when we stand up and we unite, then the world is a free. Satan is a free. Because if we stand and stand for God, He knows He can't do nothing with us. It has been proven before. It can be proven again. But we got to go back to God.
Come on, y'all. Let's do it. Just do it. I've already told Pastor Gray, you know, if he decides that, you know, he want to do something here for Gainesville, some kind of revival, I'll go in half with you. We got to do something. Like you tell somebody something, I got, you know, they may have a home church. I don't want you to leave here. Something's going to be with me. Stay where you are. If you're doing right and do right, let's lift the name of God so that people can hear it. We've been doing this ministry almost 20 years. About how many? We have about, how many men? 2,000 messages on the web. I go back and listen to make sure I was telling the truth back then. And I listen like this. Did I see it right? I'd be like in shock. You ever do that too, Gary? You listen to stuff you did 10 years ago? But the point being made is that I've often told people, and I've told Pastor Gray, and I don't think I'm putting him on the spot, but I love him. I say, man, if you're not recording your messages, when you die, they're gone. If it's good enough to preach one time, it ought to be good enough to be heard again. Because the ungodly, you can still find Luther. You probably don't even have to go look at it. You have to go through all the stations. You still hear Marvin Gaye. You can still hear that dude that was with Queen. You can still hear different people that have been soldiers and things. Okay, I don't care how good some of these people were. If we're giving God's word in such a way that it brings people back to the righteousness of the law, we're talking about mature people. If you're just talking about getting saved, that's immature. Saving is when you're concerned about yourself. Hebrews chapter 6 says, let's move on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of dead works and repentance, you know, from all your sins. What we're doing now, we're supposed to be building the kingdom.
Serving.
Yes, serving, leading. And until we do that, all we're doing is churching. That ain't, look, I can go make money today. You know how many people would prefer me to do service work on Saturday? On Saturday. Oh, please, on the Sabbath? I got a call a while ago, I wouldn't answer. Two of them, then I got one before I left. No. I chose this day to set aside. And it helps me, because when I'm around people that do Sunday, if I decide I want to do something with them, I'm open. If they decide they want to do something with me, they're open. But the point is that I know God blessed the seventh day. That was the first thing I looked at. I said, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Did he ever take the blessing off the seventh day? Never seen nowhere. I said, I wanted that blessing. And then what I said, I wanted that blessing. And I haven't suffered. I have not suffered one inch in my pay. I think I make more, don't I? Yeah, you know, I don't have much competition on Sunday to work either. But here's the thing. Are we going to do it? Can we demand it of ourselves? Can we demand it? Can we take it from Pastor Gray? Like, well, he ain't in our assembly. Yes, he is. That's right, he is. Can we take it from each other? Can we demand excellency for our children? Can we demand it for our politicians? Because until you have the righteousness of God in your heart, you can be bought off with a lobbyist. You can be paid off. If you don't have the righteousness of God in your heart, you can be bought off for orgasm. Yeah, you can. The curry favor. Yes. Or you can turn away from God because you might get locked up. I've been locked up already in my life 3 times for something I didn't do. I didn't realize how serious it was till I started seeing all these people. When Dr. Robbie Zacharias said what he said, that was even more startling. What did he say? Because I didn't hear, I heard you, but what did he say about the Angola thing?
He said that Steve Warden told him, he went there and did the warden told him that over half of the population in that prison, they were.
Over. Over half. When you say over half of the population, but yet they're still working, I think, 16 cents an hour.
And when you look at, you know,
and they're black.
John Piper went there. When you look at the audience, it was our black people.
It was
yeah.
Yeah. and lied to them.
Black men, mostly, that sat there and listened, that they came to hear him, and they came to challenge him, too.
Yeah, they did.
So, you think about that, you know that over half of them are innocent. And you say, you determined that they're still not going to get out.
It's not economically viable for them to get out and stop doing that stuff on the plantation. So when I thought about when I was younger, and it's like, yeah, I got locked up, I'll be out. Now what I said to myself, I'll be out, I'm innocent. Because I thought it was the justice system.
There's so many, I learned that there are so many tentacles to it. When
you have tentacles.
To it, that you know that these prisons, they lease them out, they lease their labor out to some of these major corporations. The Walmart, the JCPenney, Macy's, all of these places are taking advantage of these men who are locked up, and they mean to lock you up for any sort of offense. For a word, if you just curse at them, they want to lock you up.
And Bloomberg was searching and frisking people. And we had another president, three strikes and you're out. His wife called you super predator, then it's like, and people felt something when I said, I would never give her the vote. Because I know when you see what they've done to people in the prison industrial complex, then compare that to Haiti. If this is what you do to black people in a microcosm, I better not give you a macrocosm.
All right.
I thank you all for joining us today, and let's pray that we would come close to the knowledge of God. Go ahead, Gary. I'm glad you got something.
I wanted you to speak just a little more to something else you said. You talked about the Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And that there would appear basically to be a similar call.
Mm-hmm.
In,
I got you.
In an organized.
In an organized rally or protest or something like that.
Yeah, and then you said, I'm not changing. So, cause I think a lot of black people do that. And you went on and said that some other stuff you did. If you can say a little bit more to that before.
I will. Well, first of all, when I learn about the religion of Islam, and I think about who started it, and how little respect he has for the Messiah. When they don't believe in the word of God as being God's word of God, they're going to believe this Qutan, this man that he came up with a different revelation that he got from somebody named Jibril, not even Gabriel. And that he's got something where you can go and beat your wife, where you can take a black woman and call it a muta and have sex with her for an hour a day and call it a marriage. When you take the Quran and make it equal to the Bible, and you say it's the Bible and it's not the Bible. When you can go and you can kill the people that are Jews, and you understand the real Jews were black anyway. They come from the kingdom of Judah, and right there in Benin, Africa. You look on a Bowen map, I think it's a 1740 map or 1730 something map. Just type in Bowen map, and you will see it at the bottom of West Africa, Benin, right there where Benin is, it's like the kingdom of Judah, and then they tell you where the slave trades were, where they had the slave trade that went over to through India and all of that, and you begin to see our people. And that's who they were killing. And right now, even Islam right now still take black men, kill them, castrate them, and rape the women. I'm going to tell anything that's going to deny the Lord God and deny his word, we're not on the same page. Not on the same page. It doesn't matter if you're over here and you've accepted that religion because of the fact you had a lot of people during the days of Elijah that accepted by all and they would not change. As a matter of fact, some of them, when they were hot between two opinions. And they say, if God be God, let him be God. Deuteronomy chapter 13 says, I don't follow you if you're going to serve another God. Actually, that's worthy of death. And believe me, if we were in an Islamic country, we'd be put to death. Then we would believe that Jesus the Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach is God in the flesh. That is shirk. You'd be put to death. And don't I tell some of my Islamic people that are from other countries. I say, you treat me like that over here, but if I was in your country, you put me to death. They said, no, you want to say, how would you go against your religion? I say, I'm not pretending we're not the same. I say, your surah tells you that you're supposed to go if you don't believe what I say or what we say. Go to those that were prophets before you. Abraham, Moses, David. I said, you don't read it. You don't go there. You don't try to tell me. I told the man that I do business here with, make money with. I said, you don't get to tell me. You don't get to tell me what to do. I step like that. You don't get to tell me. You don't have that kind of power to tell me what God's word say. Because I know what you would say. And when I don't know, I got your books and I got your hadiths. They drunk a Muhammad bath water, okay, fought over it. And many other such like wicked things. You wipe your bottom with one hand and you don't do it the other and you urinate, you use one. All of this kind of such like thing. And you don't believe in the righteousness of God. And you go in and you conquer and you kill and you rape and take the land and you tear down what they call churches to put your mosque over it. I do the same thing with the Mormon. I am not on the same page with a Mormon. I do not follow a 15-year-old boy, what they call a peep stoner, Joseph Smith, looking in a hat, looking in a stone, telling the future, who have told some of the things of the Masons, and they end up killing him around the same time with Captain Morgan. And you're going to tell me this angel Moroni came and gave you this? I don't doubt you might have seen a spirit just like Muhammad probably, well, Tom probably saw a spirit called himself the Praise One, which is Muhammad. But you're going to tell me that the black people are the Lamanites and they're cursed? And you're basing that off of evolutionary religion? And then you bastardize and you copy the King James Bible and you put it in your Book of Mormon, and I'm going to say, you equal with me, you're a damnable liar. Because I got your books. I do the same thing with Charles Taz Russell. They didn't like black people and started Jehovah's Witness. I own his book. Back when before it was ever called a Jehovah's Witness, when it was changed to that by Judge Rutherford. I go and look at what you stand for, what your origin is. So no, when I'm talking about God, I'm talking about a particular Elohim. I'm talking about the one that's in the scripture, the one that made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, the one that gives his governmental authority in the world, not a bastardization, not somebody making a privatization, but his word that's given in law, statutes, ordinances, and case law that tells me, first of all, honor him, love my neighbor as myself, and loving my neighbor is telling them the truth. It's not trying to sex. Is rebuking him when he's wrong, keeping his eyes focused on the prize, which is the high prize of God, the calling he has in Christ Jesus, keeping my sons on that, keeping myself on that. That's the God that I serve. If we came together and we're going to say something about something that's wrong, we can say that, but I'm not under your auspices. I'm not under your leadership. This is where I stand. So if you start saying something about Allah, then I'm not with that. I'm just telling you now. I'm with God. Now, understand that people that serve other religions, they're going to have tenets that come from the Bible, because Romans chapter 1 and 18, it talks about men knowing God, but they suppress the truth and ungodliness. And so just because you know something is true, but you're going to attribute it to somebody else, I'm not on that page. Let me say it like the late Dr. Greg Bonson. I'm intentioned in what I believe. Very intentioned. And I try to be more and more intentioned. Did that clear it? Okay. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for bringing that out, and that we just continually love the Most High God and His Word. And Shabbat, Brother Bodhi. Thank you for joining us. Father, bless us. Keep us. Make your face shine upon us. Be gracious to us. Empower us to do your will. Empower us to speak your word. Empower us to long and thirst after the righteousness of your law, so that we can fulfill it in the earth, so that there can be peace, there can be harmony, children can be taken care of, the elderly can be taken care of, rape can stop, the politician can stop ruling us with media and with lies, that we would be looking to you for our health and strength to do that for us, Father. Let us shine for you and give us the kingdom so that we can rule it for your sake. It's your Father's desire. If it's your desire, Father, by your Son, when he said it's your desire to give us the kingdom, make us worthy of having it. Amen, amen, and amen.